We're so very blessed to live in the United States of America. I often complain or whine or whatever the appropriate word is, but there's no other country on the face of the earth like the United States of America. And it is truly a blessing of God that we can have the freedom to worship God as we do. And like it or not, this country was built upon God. Yeah, and it is God that has sustained us through the years. I want to invite your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Today we're going to talk about overcoming our sin. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should no longer, or to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, Lord, help us that we understand your word. Take it and apply it to our hearts, our minds, our lives, that we may be made better servants for you. Lord, we love you. And we present ourselves to you today. Mold us and make us into what we should be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today, I do want to address an issue that plagues our nation. It plagues our churches. It plagues our culture. It plagues our cities. And it is a problem that has become so prominent that we become callous to it. Israel had the same problem. Adam and Eve had the same problem. That problem, of course, is sin. And you know, as we read about Israel in this chapter 10, the question comes to mind, and it has always come to my mind. You think, how could Israel have missed it? God was so plain. God was so clear. You do this, I'll bless. You do this, and it will cost you. You'll be cursed. Yet a whole generation of Israelites perished in the wilderness because of sin. You see, Israel, it says, was our example. And the example is, of course, Israel's errors that they committed in the past. And we read here how that everyone started on level playing field. Their fathers, it says, were under the same cloud. They passed through the same sea. They were all baptized into Moses. Don't get that confused. That's not New Testament baptism. It's talking about just being immersed into the leadership of Moses. They all followed the same guy is what that amounts to saying. Okay? They all ate the same spiritual food. That is, they were taught the same things. They all drank the same spiritual drink, which was Christ. They were all on level playing ground. Yet, most were destroyed or scattered in the wilderness. Why? Do you realize, and out of that whole generation, two men saw the promised land. Two men out of millions, if you will. That's not real good odds. Right? Why? Why did they have such problems with sin? Well, the text tells us they lusted after evil things. As a matter of fact, in the text we're told, don't be like them. Have you ever heard that from your parents? Don't do like they do. Yeah? That's what this text that Paul writes is saying. Don't be like Israel. They became idolaters. They made their own God out of gold in Exodus chapter 32. And people, when I guess the God of Moses did not suit their desire, much like today. I mean, is that not what people are looking for in religion? They're looking for churches. They're looking for religion that makes me feel good. Have you ever heard that? I want to tell you what, sometimes you got to feel bad before you feel good. Now, you got to address the sin problem before you feel good about a Savior. Don't be idolaters. Don't commit sexual immorality as the children of Israel did. It's talking about how that they followed after or they chased the women of Moab. God said, stay away from those idolatrous women, which ultimately caused them to go after false gods. Don't tempt God as they did. They were thirsty in the wilderness. It's talking about Exodus chapter 17. They were in the wilderness and they were thirsty. You know? And so what did they do? They begin to complain and tell Moses. They threatened to stone Moses. And finally they said, is God really with us or not? Is that not kind of like the way we are? I mean, God's supposed to keep us from those harsh times. Or that's our thought process. They complained. Don't complain like they complained. Oh, that we had just died in Egypt. Have you ever wondered why God recorded all of the failures of Israel? Paul just told us. It's so you would know what failure looks like and you don't have to repeat it. Okay? Have you ever told your children, I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made? That's what we're talking about here. God is saying, look, here's where Israel blew it. And they blew it to the point that they were destroyed in the wilderness. They could have had it all. They could have had the promised land. And two people saw the promised land. But you see, as I said, that was our example for the present. Do you realize everyone at Victory? Now I want your attention just a moment. You look around, you think we're all different. I want to tell you, we're not all different. We are very similar. We have been given the same opportunity as members of Victory. Okay? And in this opportunity, you're being led by the same spiritual leadership. You have the same pastor. Okay? We all worship the same Savior. We all have the same church family. We all teach the same thing. You may go to a different Bible study class on Sunday morning, but the bottom line is, we all teach the same thing. We all enjoy the same worship. But I want you to stop. Do I have your attention? I want you to look around. Look at the people beside you. Turn right. Turn left. Balcony folks, y'all look down upon these folks that are on the floor. And you're not just people watching. I want you to look at this congregation today, and I want to declare to you, I want to tell you that a large part of this congregation at some point in their life will fail, will become a victim of sin. It may be that person you're sitting beside, you know? Maybe that person sitting in front of you. But some will be caught in sin. Some will be caught in sexual immorality. Do you realize there are a lot of married people in this congregation today? Some of you will commit adultery. Some of you have already committed adultery. There are some in this congregation that will backslide. I wonder who it is. You know, you'll be in church and that preacher will say something you don't agree with. You don't have to put up with that. I just won't go back. They'll drop out of church and forget it. God will no longer be a part of their lives. There are some that'll get involved in false religion. Now listen. Have you ever heard people say, well, I don't really agree with what they teach, but I like going there. Have you ever heard that? Listen, you better unlike going there if you don't agree with what they teach. All right? But there are some, and you know, well, my kids' friends go there. Are they foundationally, doctrinally sound teachers of the Word of God? If they're not, you're involved in false religion. Okay? There will be some who will fall to false religion. There will be some who just rebel, drawn away by the attraction of the world. Now I want you to look again to your right and your left, and I want you to ask the question, who will it be? Who will it be? Tough question. You see, here's our problem. We think we're very special. I mean, really, as a nation, we think we're special. As God's people, we think we're special. So much so that we think God would never judge us. God's not a God of judgment. He's a God of love. He's supposed to be warm and fuzzy and always wrap His arms around and love everyone, no matter what they do. Well, I do want to reassure you that God loves you. But I do want to declare to you that God judges sin. Okay? And see, God's love for you is only half the story. We think that somehow God loves us so much that He's changed His mind, and the sins that were sins in the day of the Old Testament are no longer sins today. We think that socially we have advanced to the point that we're above. You know, we now know more. For example, sex outside of marriage. Did you know sex outside of marriage is fornication? Fornication is sin. It's always been sin and still is. That hasn't changed. Homosexuality is not an alternate lifestyle. It's always been an abomination to God, and it still is. Idol worship. You know, the idea of tolerance today is, let's accept everyone's religion No, that's idolatry. Okay? Reality. All religions are not the same. Okay? One of my personal favorites. Well, what's wrong for you is not necessarily wrong for me. That's called relativism. And that is wrong. Okay? Oh, you see, what I want you to grab a hold of is that the standard has not changed. God still sees sin as sin. And God will still judge sin. That's why these were given, it says, for our example, so that we don't make the same mistakes, so that we can know if you do this, this will happen. Does it make sense? It's kind of like if you jump off a building, you'll likely break something. You know? If you get involved, if your life becomes consumed by sin, something's going to break in your life. Now I want you to just stop, and I want us to do a moment of evaluation and ask ourselves, where am I? Where am I today? Now, I'm not preaching this message to present that, oh, you will be perfect. No. I'm preaching this message to say, be warned. Because you give sin an inch, it will take a mile. Have you ever noticed that it's never good enough? A little bit, it starts small, but it grows. And it grows to the point of consuming you. You see? That's what this 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians is about. He's saying, be warned. Here's your example. Don't do that. And when the temptation comes, there is a way of escape. You don't have to do the same thing that Israel did. Here's what you've got to know. That everyone's subject to failure. You see, as you look around and you think, first thought is, it will never happen to me. You're wrong. You're wrong. From this preacher to this pulpit to this pew, we all fight the battle of the flesh. Okay? I'm not pretending a preacher thinks he's holier than... No, I fight the same battles you fight. You know? I'm drawn and tempted by many of the same things that you're tempted by. I lose battles just like you lose battles. But God says, you've got to know first of all that you're susceptible. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You can't handle it. Have you ever heard people say, I can handle it, I've got this. No, you don't. No. If God's Word says don't do it, don't do it. Because if you do, it's going to take more than you're willing to pay. You're not too good to fall. That's the first warning that we have in this message. You are not too good to fall. You do not have this under control. Number two, stop making excuses for your sin. Okay? Stop making excuses for your sin. You are not unique. Everybody thinks that their situation is the hardest. Have you ever noticed that? I'm battling and you just fill in the blank. And I just have it worse than everybody else. No, you don't. Okay? Paul says, there's no temptation that has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In our language today, you're just like everybody else. You're battling the same things that everybody else is battling. And everyone thinks that it's just too hard, and so we give up and give in and are destroyed in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel. For example, the homosexual. The homosexual says, God made me this way. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And listen, no, God didn't make you that way. Okay? He didn't. You're tempted and Satan's dangling the temptation in front of you. And just like you may be tempted toward homosexuality, guess what? I can be tempted toward a lady. You see what I'm saying? But we fight the same battle. I'd never be tempted toward another lady, darling. Okay, that's a lie too. I've got to repent of the sin. You see what I'm saying? Okay? Where I fight the battle of the flesh, you know, being attracted to a woman, somebody else may fight the battle of the flesh being attracted to someone of the same sex. But we're both fighting the battle. The thing is, you do not have to give in to it. I want to tell you, yes, homosexuality is a sin. It will consume you. But adultery is also a sin which will consume you and destroy and take everything you've got. How? We're all fighting the battle. That's what I want you to understand. Nobody's above it. Quit making excuses. Well, I have needs. You're just like everybody else. Everybody else has needs. The alcoholic, the drug addict says, oh, I just can't quit. No, you're not willing. You're not willing to stand up and say, no, Satan, you cannot rule my life anymore. You see, we're all fighting the battle. Yours may be the battle of the tongue. Anybody got a big mouth? You know what the Bible says? The tongue is a deadly poison. A deadly poison. You know, we're all fighting the battle. And it's not okay to give in. It's still sin, just like it was sin in the day of Israel and the days of Moses. It's still sin today. We have not elevated ourselves to a point where we're living above sin. We have elevated ourselves to a point where we're living in sin, and it doesn't bother us anymore. We all have this desire of the flesh in common. And I want to tell you, you're the one that decides whether the desire of the flesh wins or not. And it's not okay to let it win. Sin is still sin. It's Paul's point. You've got to stop making excuses and say, well, everybody's a sinner. Yes, we're all sinners. Just some are fighting it a lot harder than others, right? Start your escape from sin. Encouraging. Verse 13, there's no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is what? Faithful. That means God will not let you down. You're not fighting this battle alone. God's in there with you. And if God be for you, who can be against us? Right? You see, we have two promises in verse 13. Promise number one, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. All right. Here's the deal. Everybody's attention. Is there a sin that's a problem in your life? Number one thing you've got to get in your mind is, I can do this. I can overcome this by the power of Almighty God. Not of myself. I don't have the ability to overcome sin. But God will empower me to overcome the sin that plagues me. And I don't care if it's drugs. I don't care if it's adultery. I don't care if it's pornography. Listen, the first place you go to is God. Because He's the one that's going to deliver. God is faithful. Number two, God will make a way of escape. Okay? God will, but with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. All right? God will make a way of escape. And many use, we've often used that scripture to say, well, God won't put more on me than I can bear. No, that's really not what that says. This is a scripture about how to battle temptation. All right? And he says, when you face that temptation, here's what God's going to do. Number one, you need to know God's faithful. Number two, you need to know that God's going to make a way for you to get out. That's what that word escape means. It means get out. Look for God's way of escape. Okay? Bottom line. Look for God's way of escape. Good way of escape, first of all, when you're approached by sin and tempted, is to say no. 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 Is this lady flirting with you at work, and you just know there's a little more intent there than you're comfortable with? Be a man and say no. 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 Teenagers, as your kid, as your peers approach you and say, hey, we're going to this party, you know, tomorrow night, there'll be, and you know the things that are there, I don't need to even begin to try to speculate on what'll be there. And they say, you want to go? Here's an idea. No! No. No. Be a child of God. Say no. But here's another fact. There are some people who are already caught up in sin. Already dealing with it. And you've just kind of backed up. And you know, that's the way it is in your life. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to live this way. First thing you begin to do is you look for God's way of escape. Okay? Are you an alcoholic? God has a way out. Number one, you need to get involved in church. Number two, there are a lot of organizations out there that God has put out there, you know, for you to share and have counseling with, and people that are going through the same battles, the Alcoholics Anonymous and other organizations. Start looking for those way out. Okay? Because as long as you live in your sin, nothing's going to change. Are you a drug addict? Might surprise us who's abusing drugs here today. Same thing. First, you've got to back up and say, hey, I've got a sin problem. Second thing you got to do is you've got to say, I'm tired of living this way. I'm not going to live this way. Am I suggesting that, oh, this will magically fix everything, and you go and you ask forgiveness of God, and He's going to magically take all the temptation away? No. No. What I am telling you is that God is faithful. He will be there to fight the battle with you, and He'll make a way of escape. You see, it's just too easy to live the way we're living. To keep wandering in the wilderness because of our sin and never do anything about it. Oh, don't do that, friends. Life could be so much better. Can you imagine had Israel, when they came out of Egypt, can you imagine what that generation would have been like if they had just set their sights on God and refused to get caught up in all the sins of idolatry and everything else that's listed there? They would have went straight into the promised land. There wouldn't have been any 40-year wandering. They would have just enjoyed the blessings of God. But they made some bad choices and it cost them their life. The good news is this. If you're caught up in sin today, if sin's controlling your life, the good news is, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Are you a child of God? Sin controlling your life? First place to get is on your knees. Lord, I'm sorry. I have made some bad decisions. you know. And quit playing this holier than thou, I'm nothing's wrong, and we put on this big facade and nobody knows. And yeah, God knows. God knows. And then once you get off your knees, you start looking for God's way out. And I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, there is a way out. May not be easy. Okay? You may have to fight. And I'll just be honest with you, it probably won't be easy. And you probably will have to fight the battle. But that's all right. Because you'll be fighting with God instead of against God. Okay? There's a big difference there. You're here today, and I want all of you to understand what I've preached about today has been, you know, has been pointed more so toward Christians. However, there are probably lost people here today. You can't fight the sin battle without a Savior. All right? Bottom line is sin's going to destroy you. The wages of sin is death. It's going to destroy you. Unless you get the help you need. And the help you need is a Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, that's why Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. We're told in the Word of God that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died so that you could have forgiveness. He took your sin punishment upon Himself. And now He says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And He opens the door of invitation saying, you do not have to live in the unforgiveness. You do not have to live in the guilt and the shame that sin brings. He says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Listen, doesn't it make sense to lay the guilt at the cross? Doesn't that make sense to you? There are people here, no doubt, who's lost and never made that commitment. And you're carrying around, you know, you want to not think about it, but it keeps coming up. You say, Brother Doug, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Jesus said that His blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right? That means every porn addict that's present today, there's forgiveness. That means every criminal today, there's forgiveness. Every drug addict, every adulterer, every fornicator, every sin, there's forgiveness. You see, you've got to make the choice. The choice of living in your sin to the point of destruction. For the choice of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll be honest with you, for me, there's no choice. The decision is Jesus. How about you? Our Father in heaven, thank you. Oh, thank you for the examples that we have from your Word. Lord, we do realize today that so often we become callous to our sin and we begin to live in our sin. And Lord, that's not the joy. That's not where the joy of life is. Father, I pray today, first of all, for those who are lost, I pray that they will not delay in calling upon You as Savior. That as we have this invitation, they'll come forward and receive Your forgiveness. I pray for those, Lord, today who are battling sin. Whatever that sin may be, Lord, You know, and You alone know. I pray that today they will start. They will start their journey by seeking Your forgiveness, confessing their sin before You, and that, Lord, You will empower them to live a God-honoring life. We love You, Lord, and we pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.